If you are struggling to launch your credit repair business or to take it to the next level, you do not want to miss this amazing interview we have today. It's with one of our Millionaires Club Award winners, and he's going to walk us through exactly how he launched his business from nothing and how he built it up step by step to where it is today. Check this out.
So the big question is this: how can we take our passion for helping people with their credit and turn it into a successful business without taking loans, without spending a fortune, by bootstrapping it from nothing, so we can help the most people and still become highly profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Daniel Rosen, and welcome to Credit Repair Business Secrets.
Hey, credit heroes, welcome. We have a really special show today. Our guest today is Andre Coakley. He's a Millionaires Club Award winner. He's got a wildly successful credit repair business that he started from nothing and now has a huge team. They make millions of dollars. He's spoken at all of our Credit Expo events. He is an Amazon best-selling author, a mentor, and a philanthropist. Please welcome Andre Coakley. Welcome.
How you guys doing? I appreciate you guys inviting me out here and just getting this podcast. Thank you.
We're so excited to have you here. And by the way, I want to show you, I've got your book. For those of you who are just listening, I'm holding in my hands Andre Coakley's amazing new book. It's called An Attempt to Repair America's Broken Credit System. It's got the legal loopholes that the credit bureaus don't want you to know. And it's written by Andre Coakley. It's already an Amazon bestseller. And I've been reading through this. It is fantastic. Congratulations on it.
No, thank you. Thank you. Actually, your book also inspired me to write my book. So
cool.
See how things go? You know, it's a circle. It's a circle.
It sure is. We help each other up the mountain.
Yes.
Yes. Well, anyways, I'm so excited. Writing a book is really, really hard. How long did it take you?
Took about 3 years. I've probably been thinking about it for probably about 6 years, just trying to see, you know, exactly what direction I want to go with it. The timing wound up being opportune, especially with a lot of the speaking engagements that I were doing, trying to get, you know, authority in the space. And here we are 3 years later, Amazon bestseller, and I'm just greatly appreciative of the aspect of being an author.
Yeah, and you're a really, really good one. This book is really awesome. You really break everything down in such a simple way. That's what I really love about it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. But before we get into the book and all this stuff, I want to know more about your origin story. Before credit repair, what was your life like?
Before credit repair, life was kind of good at one point. Prior to the recession, I was in the mortgage industry. Very successful mortgage broker. I was a principal broker for my own firm. Life was great. Didn't have a problem paying bills. And then, of course, we had what we call the recession of 2009. And that really took my life for a loop. During that time, I was also a property investor. So during that recession, I had a lot of renters who kind of backed away from paying rent, wind up causing me to have foreclosures on my credit report. I kind of went through a psychological, I guess, a downward spiral, just not knowing what my future entailed. And I got into the credit repair space. I'm like, you know, how can I try to get myself out of this situation by credit repair? And I had clients who throughout the years were like, Andre, you helped me get into my property. My credit's banged up too. How can you help us get our credit back on track? And here we are, you know, 7 years later, we have Credit 360. Our motto is we love helping good people with bad credit. And I love doing what I do.
Well, so back at the beginning, so you're in the mortgage industry, the economy starts to tank, you've got these properties, you've got the mortgage business, and everything is, it's sort of like being on the Titanic as exactly. It's going down. I know I went through the same situation. It was a really, really scary time. That's what really was a big catalyst in the start of Credit Repair Cloud. But were you your first client for the credit repair?
Actually, I really wasn't during that time. I was doing credit repair, light credit repair as a mortgage broker.
Got it.
Just to get those customers who were on the cuff, you know, slid into an approval. However, I was making far much more money doing mortgages than credit repair.
Sure.
I didn't think it was lucrative, but it's funny how times have changed. I depend on those little $300-$400 per client in order to be able to survive, to take care of not only myself, but also my credit repair team.
So that's kind of like what the transition was. You were doing the mortgage business. You were doing the credit repair sort of alongside to help sell more loans, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And so then that sort of probably eased the transition as that was crumbling and the credit repair emerged. That was your transition period, correct?
That was a transition period. And the sweet thing about it is, fortunately, I would say probably about 80% of the other individuals who I knew were going through that same financial transition. So it wound up being a great market to capitalize on.
Absolutely. That was crazy, crazy times. I've never been under so much stress. I mean, at that same time, I nearly went bankrupt. I nearly lost my house. It was really, really ugly. Everyone was in trouble.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was going through it, I had to determine, was I going to keep my house or was I going to keep my business? And it was a very hard decision. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do everything I can to keep my business. That's the same office that you came visited me at. I've been here for 13 years now. So it's most definitely been a journey, you know, hanging on, you know, kind of putting my personal life on the back burner to put my entrepreneur life on the forefront.
Wow. Now, how did you transition into full-time credit repair? How did you make that leap?
One of the things that kind of helped me out during that transition, while I was originating Credit 360, I also opened up a nonprofit organization called Community Works Coalition. And the mission of that nonprofit was to teach financial literacy. During the time of the recession, everything I knew was financial. However, after recession, nobody wanted to talk about finances. And truth be told, Obama was coming into office. We were told that, you know, all these grassroots nonprofit organizations were going to be able to get funding to help revitalize and stimulate the economy. It never took place, unfortunately. However, it just wind up being, I guess, that liaison into credit repair. And what I wound up realizing is when we're doing the nonprofit efforts and work, it really actually gave me credibility in the actual space with mayors, commissioners, people of influence from a governmental standpoint. And that also really helped the credit repair business, looking in hindsight now, because a lot of those individuals kind of signed off or vouched for our services because of the in-kind work we were doing in our community.
Wow. Yeah, there was a lot of talk that it was going to be repaired quickly. And I remember that was like 5 or 6 really, really slow, scary years.
Yes.
But
yes.
You were already out there speaking. I know you speak in churches and schools and prisons. Every week you're speaking somewhere, right?
Yes. And that's mainly because of the nonprofit. Credit repair, unfortunately, has a stigma on it with some individuals that it can be a shiesty or shady business. So, you know, one of the aspects I wanted to do is how can I actually make myself as credible as possible? And of course, to give in-kind work to someone, to give your efforts and your time to someone and not ask for anything in return, really, really kind of really just laid the groundwork for Credit 360 today. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's something I'm always preaching is that, you know, so many people get into credit repair just trying to make money and making that their goal. But you actually go out and you give value and you really help people and you go and speak and you teach people how they can repair their own credit, correct?
Of course. Everything is not going to be for financial gain. Even with the credit repair, you know, community, I help, you know, startup companies. Don't ask for anything in return. However, I do get things in return when I really look at it. My book has only been out for 30 days. We sold 400 units in 30 days. And a lot of those people who bought my books were the people who I gave in-kind value to at one point, not knowing how that retribution was going to come back. But it did come back, you understand? And I'm a firm believer of that. You know, you just give to the community, give back to the earth. And the earth finds a way to give back to you somehow, some way.
Absolutely. It all comes back around. If you make your goal about really helping people and changing lives, that's when the real rewards start to come your way.
I mean, right. And really the funny story is when you guys called me a few years ago to let me know that I was a recipient of the Millionaires Club Award, I didn't even realize I made $1 million with your software. To be honest with you, God be my judge, I hung up that phone and I called my accountant immediately. I'm like, you know, let's let's do the math on this, because, you know, I didn't even realize, I was so busy trying to change lives, not really looking at the dollar signs. And when I realized, I'm like, you know what, these guys are spot on. I did make over $1 million worth their software. And during that time, we were transitioning into credit repair cloud. We were using multiple softwares. We had, you know, realized, okay, this is the way that we want to go, but to even realize that much money was generated, it was quite rewarding.
Yeah, and it was an interesting thing. We didn't set out to have those awards. We were just looking for ways to inspire people. We knew our first credit repair expo was coming up, and suddenly we thought, who are we going to have speak? And I went, Keenan, who's doing really well? And we started to look, and that's when we found you were making over $1 million, and Derek Harper, and so many other people. And that's when we came up with the idea of the award, because we thought, wow, this could really, really inspire people. So, no,
and it was very inspiring, to be honest with you. I never knew I was a speaker or a motivational speaker until, you know, I was able to be on your platform. And that platform has opened me up, to be honest with you, to be able to travel the world speaking, something I never, never, never would have thought. I don't even think of myself as an eloquent speaker. However, when the crowd and the participants receive the message and they feel value out of it, sometimes you have to, you know, I got to take my personal views on myself out of the, throw that out the window and look at, hey, how can you give value and how can I give back to the individuals who need my help and need my assistance?
Well, you're a really, really good speaker. In fact, I hope you're going to come and speak at the next Credit Repair Expo.
Of course. If this is the invite, of course I will be there.
This is the invite. It's the official invite.
Most definitely.
The people listening to this show, they're all across the board. Many of them have credit repair businesses. They want to grow them to the next level. And then there's an awful lot of people listening who dream of starting a credit repair business, but they just don't know how to start. What advice do you have for those people who don't even know how to start?
The best thing to do is start. Unfortunately, this is a business of action. And a lot of times with a lot of the startups who I mentor, we do so much pre-game prep that we're scared to even play the game when it's time to actually get out there on the field and get started. And I like to tell individuals who are in the credit repair space, you're not like a credit repair specialist. You're a credit repair physician. You are a counselor. You're a mentor. You're a psychiatrist. Like, there is no two patients who are going to be identical. So it's your job to kind of triage those individuals, kind of figure out exactly where they're trying to go, where their scope is, and how you can get them there. A lot of times, I think a lot of startups, they think that everything is based off of getting deletions and removals off credit report. That's only one aspect of the relationship. You know, it's just like saying, you know, the physical side of relationships, right? Which most men want to please a woman physically. That's only one aspect of the relationship. However, that woman wants more communication, more relationship than just the physical side of it. And the same thing happens with our customers. A lot of times is we're so busy trying to get the deletions that we're not trying to uphold and actually value the relationship, which the relationship can be controlled. However, the deletions cannot be controlled. I have clients who give me substantial information saying, hey, you know what, this information that's on their credit report is not theirs. I send it off to the credit bureaus. The credit bureaus still don't remove the information off the credit report. So it's not a controllable. However, the aspects and dynamics of the relationships, that's controllable. And I would tell you, most startup companies, you know, value the relationship more than the actual aspects of deletions, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And the financial literacy plays an awful large part. I mean, so many people don't even know how important it is to pay their bills on time. And there's that whole, that's a whole nother show in itself, but exactly. It's amazing. That's why I'm so glad you're going out and speaking on financial literacy, because they don't teach in the schools. We all have to learn it by trial and error. And it makes such an impact on our scores. I mean,
most definitely.
How often is it that you start on a client and you see they don't know how to handle their bills? And how do you help that person?
Exactly. And a lot of that is one of the reasons why we started what you see here at Got Street Credit,
yeah,
which is, you know, our movement where we go out in the streets and we teach them about credit. Just a few months ago, I went to our local elementary school here, and we're talking to third and fourth graders about the importance of credit. What's the highest credit score? What's the lowest credit score? What's good debt? What's bad debt? How can interest be positive? How can interest be negative? And these are just the aspects that, you know, regardless of the walk of life you plan to take, you have to have some wherewithal of financial literacy. And it's just a gap that's being not being filled by boards of education. That's not their focus, which is understandable. However, we still have to find ways, you know, to, you know, put financial literacy in front of those individuals who are most at risk with making poor financial decisions.
Wow. So awesome. So awesome that you do this. Now, I want to get back to the beginning of when you went full-time into credit repair and launched Credit 360. How scary was that? I mean, you had a home, you had your building there where your business is. How frightening was that to just start over?
It was very frightening, especially looking at the simple fact that it's credit repair. And I was scared to tell people I did credit repair, especially coming from a mortgage broker, because most of the stories I heard about credit repair agents or specialists or individuals were normally horror stories, not stories of success. So, you know, that was one of the things I was always very, very scared of, is just making sure that I wasn't putting myself in a position to be able to be called a scam, to be able to say, okay, you took advantage of someone. And that was probably the most scariest part about it, because even some of my own family members, friends and, friends, they were like, credit repair, you know, aren't those the people who rob people every month? And it's like, eh. And here it is. So you have to kind of get over that hurdle. But, you know, through time and due diligence and, you know, showing people the correct way of repairing credit, you know, you can get over those hurdles and anybody can get over those hurdles.
Wow. How long was it before you were able to make a living at the credit repair at the very start?
It's funny. I felt like the biggest fraud in credit repair, and most probably entrepreneurs would probably feel this way, because entrepreneurship means you're probably teeter-tottering between two professions, one that's paying you and one that you hope is paying you. I had three jobs at the time, and I was embarrassed. I was financially broke. So I owned a credit repair company. I used to leave my credit repair company at 3:30 because I had another job that I had to start at 4 o'clock. Now, that was the most embarrassing thing to tell my staff and my employees, that, hey, I'm your boss, but I got to leave you as your boss to go work for somebody else as an employee. Counterproductive and counterintuitive in that standpoint. And that was probably one of the biggest hurdles that I had to deal with, just leaving my company to go help build somebody else's brand. However, looking back, I needed that. You know, I needed those resources from that 9-to-5 or that solid income to be able to help produce what Credit 360 is today. And during that time, I was making enough money in that particular job to help float what I was lacking in Credit 360, all right? So it wasn't even like, did I have an option? It wasn't by choice. It was by circumstance that, you know, I had to kind of float three jobs. And I was a bouncer at a strip club.
Oh, wow.
Now, do I want to ever put my hands on anybody? By any means, right? That's not me. I don't want to fight, right? However, I had to cut. That's what paid the bills. And that's what helped me cut the check at that particular time. But it's a part of my life I'm not too excited about. However, I'm thankful of the journey because it formatted me into who I am today.
Absolutely. As an entrepreneur, you got to just keep pushing forward. Like you said, you got to just do it. And you just kept walking through the fire and you got to the other side. How soon after the launch, I mean, initially, was it just you doing the credit repair? How long before?
Well, it was me and I had two employees. Trevor, who was like, he's my VP, but he was doing processing, doing VP work, doing everything, you know, pretty much filling in the gaps when I was leaving the office. And then I had EB, she was doing processing. However, you know, and it was kind of scary because I didn't even feel I knew what I was doing at that particular time. So to try to train someone on something you're not too sure about, and they're asking you questions and you're like, I really don't know. It's kind of hard. And keep in mind, you know, there's no such thing as just reading a manual on understanding credit repair. So right. I tell, you know, you are a physician, you are a doctor. The only way you become a great doctor is you got to have patience, right? You can't just finish, I can't finish medical school today and say, okay, I got this 4-year medical degree. However, I've never had a patient. You're still not a doctor yet. You just have the qualifications and certification to be a doctor. However, when we look at some of these doctors who are in third world countries, have no study skills of formal medicine. However, they know the body better than some doctors who have formal education, because they've seen more patients, right? So the whole idea is to get in front of individuals, learn some of the mistakes that, you know, they're making on the forefront from a credit standpoint, and be able to diagnose that and translate that into how you can kind of revert that client into having some type of financial literacy skill.
Absolutely. But wow, I'm really impressed that you started with a team. That almost never happens. I know with the mentoring you're doing, most people that start out, they're a one-man band, right?
Correct. Most definitely.
And starting to hire and develop a team, that generally comes much later. That's when you start to grow faster. But that's really scary for someone just starting.
Well, you know, because I had the mortgage backing and, you know, these individuals worked with me on the mortgage side. So there's already that trust factor. They already kind of, you know, knew what my vision was with any brand that I was putting forth. So in normal cases, they probably wouldn't have followed me, right? They wouldn't have walked off the cliff with me. However, because of prior experience, because they've worked with me in the past, they were a little bit more receptive to kind of listening to what I say and a little bit more temperament, if I may say, to possibly deal with some of the foolishness that I was putting in front of them as a business owner and a boss who didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Wow. How big a team do you have today?
We're 11 man staff.
Wow. When we came to do that video in your office and bring you your award and shoot that, we had the camera crew and Keenan and I flew out, I was really impressed with how just quiet and zen-like and relaxing it was in your office. It was amazing. Your team, they're incredible. Everyone was so nice. You're very zen-like yourself, so clearly it trickles down from the top, but it really caught me off guard. I just remember sitting there in the middle of your office, cross-legged on the floor, thinking, wow, I could like take a nap here. It's like a yoga studio. It was so relaxed.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. We have the picture with you sitting on my carpet. Like, you know, like, of all places, I don't want Daniel Rosen sitting on the carpet of my office. Like, you know, he can sit anywhere he wants to sit, but not on the carpet. But however, you know, but that just shows how much of a, you know, a people person you are. You understand, you know, you don't hide behind a mask. You don't hide behind the shield. You are authentic as they come. And just to see you sitting on my carpet, I'm like, it's a blessing and the curse all in the same breath, because who wants someone who they look up to sitting on their carpet, right?
Well, but I was just happy to take it all in. I mean, I'm obsessed with, you know, our team here, we've built very, very quickly. We've got over 50 here. And it's really, that's the biggest challenge for me is learning how to build the team, how to motivate a team, how to, Keenan and I go off to these conferences where we're trying to learn more and more about you get to this point, as you know, it's all about building that team and keeping everyone motivated and to do it without stress.
Most definitely not an easy task, keeping individuals motivated, keeping yourself motivated. Keep in mind, you know, I don't wake up every day motivated myself. However, I can't bring on that character when I step into the workplace, because at the end of the day, I can't have my employees or someone who works with the brand saying, you know what, I'm just not in the mood today. Because most definitely that's going to resonate into customer service, customer experience. So we most definitely want to value energy. And, you know, I talk to my team a lot about energy. Energy is a commodity. And a lot of times we don't really, you know, value energy and how someone can come and just with one conversation, destroy your whole energy for the day. All right. So most definitely, you know, keeping energy, positive vibes, keeping team members from not killing each other. You know how that goes. It's work. So you don't get me wrong. It's not always going to be peaches and cream. We do run into, you know, situations. However, you know, everything's a learning experience, not only from their aspect, but even from my aspect. A lot of times I have to tell my team, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm a boss. I've never been in this space before. Let me figure this out. Give me some time. I don't know how to give you the answer. And sometimes that's hard because you're looked at or you hire them to give them the answer. And when you don't have the answer, sometimes it can kind of, you can feel a little bit jaded because of that.
Yeah, I face the same thing here. I mean, every day is a new challenge and we've never faced before. And there are those times where you don't know the answer and you have to go and study. Thankfully, there's mentorship programs. I know we're in mentorship programs. I'm sure you've been in them.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And now you are a mentor.
Yes. Thanks to you guys. You know, again, you know, it's the unveiling of the Millionaires Club Award kind of allowed me to see a different aspect of myself that I probably didn't even, that I don't see in myself. And I had individuals saying, hey, you know what? I like what you said about that. Can you give me more information? Or, hey, you know, I got this question. Can you help me out? And, you know, here we are. You know, I put together the 7-figure Startup Academy. And none of this probably would have been in place if I never probably received that Millionaires Club Award. So I just say it to say how certain things can give you self-confidence, right? You know, it gave me the confidence to say, hey, you know what? You can do this. Here it is, Credit Repair Cloud. They're looking at my business on the back end, and I had no idea you guys were looking at me. You give me a call one day, say, hey, you know what? Can you help our platform? Can you actually speak at the expo? We want to give you this award. And what I've thought in a million years, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when you told me I was going to be an author, I would tell you no. But I'd be a recipient of an award saying that, you know, I revenued $1 million in anything, I probably would have said no. But looking back, these are the things that give you confidence build. They're confident builders. And, you know, without these aspects or these steps in life, I probably wouldn't be where I am today, and I wouldn't have a mentoring program.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. As entrepreneurs, we're probably the hardest on ourselves, aren't we?
We are every day. And I see it every day when I talk to startups. I'm like, you're giving me the answer. The problem is we just normally don't want to take action on the answer that we already know. And sometimes you just need somebody to confirm it. Like, you know, you hear all this information, but you need someone who you respect to say, you know what? No, that is the correct information. Go ahead and move forward with it. It's okay. You're going to bust your ass a few times, but it's okay. There's nothing that hydrogen peroxide won't heal.
Now, as you're mentoring people, what are some of the common challenges that you hear about that you help them with?
A lot of the common challenges, as we said, is just really getting started, number one. That's normally the most difficult thing. You know, where do I start? How do I start? And most startups are scared to necessarily work. And I love what your platform says. Take 5 to 10 people who you already know and make that your first network of building your brand. And I'm a firm believer of that because most startups want to skip that layer. We normally don't want to work with the people who already know, like, and trust because we're embarrassed to make a mistake in front of someone who we already know. However, theoretically, with a business model, if we make a mistake in front of someone who we already know, that person is not going to most likely go to the Better Business Bureau on you. They're not going to go to the state attorney's office on you. They're not going to go to their commissioner on you, tell you, you know, you're having illicit practices. However, most companies do the direct opposite. We skip that inner core. And when you go on, we want to actually go out and market to Joe Schmo client. And the problem with Joe Schmo client is, number one, is if we make a mistake with our brand, he's trying to blow our head off. He's trying to go to the state attorney's office. He has no remorse for us being brand new in the business. All right. And then what happens is now you get this pushback very early in the game. Now you lose that same self-confidence I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, I had a client. Oh, he's pissed off with my services. So therefore, I'm not going to pick up any other clients. Theoretically, we should be learning from that experience, patching that hole in your boat, and actually still moving forward with your business model.
Right? Absolutely. And it's so easy to just start by practicing with friends and family.
So easy, but it's the hardest for an entrepreneur because nobody wants to look like a jerk or look incompetent in front of the people who you already like and trust you. Now you're losing that trust factor. However, it's actually the direct opposite. You should really be actually marketing those individuals first. Market those individuals first. Actually format them into being influencers for your brand. All right. Once they're influencers in your brand, you get reviews, testimonies, all the good stuff you guys talk about. Like, I'm a firm believer of how you guys actually say you should scale up your business. So I like to hear that because sometimes when you hear like software brands and then you hear the coach and the coach or the mentor, they normally are clashing. They're normally going in totally two different directions. However, I most definitely feel that, you know, you should be working with that inner core first, if I can give startups any startup information.
Absolutely. It's the only way to really bootstrap, to really build something from nothing. It's like swinging from one vine to another. You can't skip vines.
You can't skip vines.
Yeah. And it's bootstrapping's about using whatever resources are right in front of you. And sure, the people closest to you, they're the ones who probably need your help the most.
Exactly. And those are the easiest people to market to because you can market to them on social media. Mr. Joe Schmo client, to find him, number one, you probably have to pay for some marketing ad or something from lead generation to get him in. even when he gets into your cycle or gets into your funnel or gets to your website, if you don't have reviews or testimonies to make sure he's going to get a quantified experience, therefore he still paid this marketing professional to get this lead to you. The lead actually jumped in the boat. However, he jumped out the boat, which was still a waste of your resources.
Absolutely. Hey, so in your mentoring program, what kinds of things do you cover? Everything?
Everything. We talk about, you know, how to actually, you know, start up. We talk about disputing tactics. A lot of what we sometimes, what I've been dealing with a lot is really just dealing with lead generation. A lot of startups have they have issues switching gears, going from the 9-to-5 worker to all of a sudden the entrepreneur. So, you know, being that entrepreneur, you got to put yourself out there. You have to be a little bit, you know, thirsty and desperate, right?
Sure.
Which is totally the opposite of that 9-to-5 life. So a lot of times that psychological, you know, psychological backlash is normally not psychologically wanting to get out of that hurdle and moving forward.
Makes a lot of sense. What types of marketing do you do for a Credit 360?
Actually, we were doing Google Ads at one point. Uh-huh. As we know, that's no longer possible because they walked away from the industry. But we do a lot of organic stuff, a lot of dealing with also the pay-per-click was a very good method. However, we're trying to switch things up now. You know, Google has changed up the platform with Credit Repair. And so now we're just trying to figure things out ourselves. But organic's always going to be the way to go.
Absolutely. Are you doing drip campaigns and things like that?
Yes, most definitely. We're doing drip campaigns. So we're doing anything we can to do lead generation to get them into that campaign, to funnel them for the rest of their life until
right.
They get that unsubscribe button.
And I know that whenever you go do these speaking engagements, you come back with a ton of leads.
Most definitely. That's the whole idea. And that's the reason why you give value. You give value to get that comfort level with the individual who's in front of you. Therefore, you possibly give so much value to the point they're like, you know what, you've given me so much value. I would rather you do it than I do it myself.
Really, really, really cool. So for everyone listening, how can they get your book? How can they learn more about your mentoring opportunities?
Well, you can find my book on my website at www.andrecoakley.com. That's AndreCoakley.com. You can purchase the book right there. There's links to Amazon. You can actually grab the book off Amazon, or you can get a self-signed copy book by me. You can find all the information on that website. And also with my mentoring program, you can find that information at my7figures.com. That's my7, figures with a S.com. And that's pretty much the mentoring platform where I talk about, you know, what I can help you do to help scale up your business. And if you're looking to actually grow and get your business to that next level, feel free to reach out. I do have a program that's a little bit unique than other mentoring programs. I have the on-the-job training where an individual can come to my office for 2 days and actually sit in the office and help to grow their business and actually kind of smell, taste, and touch a credit repair company. A lot of times when you get coaching and mentoring, the coach or mentor will tell you everything that you need to do. However, they'll never let you into their house, all right? In this case, we want to do the direct opposite. I want you to invite you in. I want you to meet the team. See how you can actually scale your business up based off of how I have my individual components built out in my brand.
Wow, that is so awesome. I love that. So those of you out there listening, I highly recommend you pick up Andre's book, get it on his site. We're going to put the links he just said down below. And I really appreciate you being here, Andre. I hope you're going to do more. Next time I want you to talk about customer service because you're the king of customer service.
No, I gladly will. I gladly will.
And for all of you listening, if you're enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, here's what I want you to do. I want you to click down below to subscribe. And thank you again for being here, Andre. And all of you listening, thanks for being here. We'll see you on the next show. And until then, keep changing lives.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Want a fast track to creating an amazing business that helps people, changes lives, and makes you a great living in the process? Then I'd like to invite you to my free online training at creditrepaircloud.com/free training. In this free training, you will learn how to get clients willing to pay you even if you're just starting out. how to get easy credit repair results without being an expert, and how to get all the clients you'll ever need without paying for advertising. Again, this training is absolutely free. Just visit creditrepaircloud.com/freetraining.